today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Right away, I want to ask you to do something for us. This would be such a blessing to us, and we would appreciate it so much. When this program is being broadcast, we will be having one of the greatest outreaches of the year here at the Big Cypress Seminole Reservation. It's our Vacation Bible School. We reach so many children. Many, many come, and we have such a great opportunity to give them the gospel and to share with them about the love of Christ. And so, would you pray for us? Pray for this Vacation Bible School all this week. It would be such a blessing to us. We want to see God do great things in the lives of these young people. Many of them have a church that they go to. Many of them have no church that they go to. And so we want to reach all of them and show them the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So would you pray for us? Pray for our leaders. Pray for our workers. We have a youth group coming to help us. And so pray for this group that's coming. And just pray that God would just pour out His blessing on this meeting. We've been preparing for months now, and now it's upon us. So we start this week, and we ask you if you'd just pray for us. We appreciate that so much. Our Bible study continues today in the book of Philippians. We've been talking about the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Several weeks back, we talked about how the church there was started. And you can go back and hear these programs. Again, you can go to the website at considerhisword.org and hear all of the programs in this series. So again, considerhisword.org. While you're there, send us a note and let us know you're listening to the program. We would love to hear from you. In the book of Philippians, you know, this was a great church. When Paul wrote to them, he did not solve any problems. There were not any great controversies that were going on that he needed to try to settle down. There was not any drastic teaching that he needed to do. There was not any heresy that was going on, like at Corinth and at Galatia, where there were issues. Here, there were not so much. And Paul's letter to them is very personal. And you can just sense and feel Paul's heart as he writes to them. Now, Paul is writing from prison. He's in the prison at Rome, and he's writing to this little church. And oh, how he wants to see them. Oh, how he wants to see God bless them. We're going to be primarily in Philippians chapter 1 today. We're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture. And so I invite you to get your Bible and join us today as we consider God's Word. The church at Philippi, we believe Paul started with Lydia, with perhaps a young psychic girl and the Philippian jailer and their families, many that came to the Lord there. And as Paul was teaching them and as Paul was seeing this church grow, he had some great words of encouragement for them. And today, one of the things I especially want you to see is how personal this letter is. And I would encourage you to read the book of Philippians. So many people have their favorite verses found in the book of Philippians. Philippians 4 that speaks of letting our requests be made known unto God. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, and so on. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me are all found in the book of Philippians. And I would encourage you to read it And I would even encourage you to mark it. If you mark in your Bible, underline those verses and get to know them and memorize them. This is a book that's very positive. The word rejoice is used 11 times. The word joy is used at least 6 times in just a few chapters of the book. Christ is mentioned 37 times. What do you suppose this book is about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and how Paul is encouraging them in the Lord. And so I want you to see a couple of things. Now, some of these we went over last week, and I'm not going to belabor those. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those again. We did those, so I don't think we need to do those again. But I want to begin reading right from the beginning, from the introduction, his greeting to the church, and then some of the things he said to them. So let's read a few verses. We'll stop, and then we'll read a few more. In Philippians chapter 1 now, the beginning of the book, he said, Paul and Timotheus, or Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, first of all, tells them, you're in my prayers, in my thoughts. Did you catch that? He said, you're in my thoughts. I'm thinking about you. I'm sure Paul would love to have been with his church, and he speaks of that later. We'll get to that. But, he loved this church, and he loved these people. And so he's thinking about them. And I would imagine that as he's thinking about this church, he's thinking of the individuals. Perhaps that jailer that was saved in the earthquake, or Lydia down by the river. And in his mind, he sees their faces and he hears their voices. Perhaps when they sang together, he remembers those songs that they sing. And he's remembering the blessings of the church at Philippi. And he says, I have you in my thoughts. I'm thinking about you. And he tells them about praying for you. In verse 4, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So he says, I have you in my thoughts. He says, I have you in my prayers. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. He speaks more about that. But we go on in verse 7. He said, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, y'all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He said, I have you in my heart. I think in a way he's saying, you're here with me. In fact, he goes on and says that you're here in my bonds and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He says, I have you here with me. He said, I long for you. And where he speaks of the bowels of Jesus Christ, he's talking about the deep, deep emotion here, down in the bottom of his heart. Yeah, have you heard people say that? I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Down deep in their emotions, he's feeling for them and thinking of them. Over in Philippians 4:1, he speaks of it again. He says, dearly, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Look how he addresses them, how he calls them his brethren, his dearly beloved. Twice he said that in verse 1 of chapter 4, and how he longed to be with them and see them. And then the third thing I want you to notice is this. I want to begin reading in verse 9. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness that are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He said, I have you in my prayers. We read that earlier in verse 4. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now he says that I pray. And he tells him some of the things that he's praying for. He said, I'm praying that your love may abound. Notice that the love was already there. He didn't say, I'm praying that you'll love each other. He's saying, I'm praying your love will abound. That means that it will increase and it would grow, that your love would grow in knowledge and discernment, he speaks of. And he speaks of their knowledge and judgment. The word judgment here means to be discerning, choosing the right things to love and the right way to love. And then he goes on and he encourages them with these things. He said that they should strive for excellence, that you may approve all things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, I believe all of this is part of his prayer request, that they would test that things are excellent, that they should strive for excellence and being real and sincere in their work for God. And he said, without offense, causing any stumble. And then the last thing he said in verse 11 is that they would be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Part of his prayer, that in their love and in their service, that they would be filled with fruits of righteousness. Now, when we see fruit in the Bible, we generally think of a couple of things. One, we often read fruits as being souls or of being a harvest. But also several times when the Bible speaks of fruits, it's talking of the outgrowth of a right life, doing the right things, living the right way. Deuteronomy 6:18 says, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go and possess a good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. What to be doing right and doing good. And seeing in our life that we're doing right things. Before I do anything, I ought to check myself. Is this right? Does this please God? You see, that's the next thing he mentioned, that these things ought to bring glory to God. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, in the end, God is glorified. I believe that's the most important thing in our life. You know, we shouldn't get caught up in rights and wrong. We should get caught up in, does it glorify God? Paul encouraging the church at Philippi. Thanks for listening today. Our time is gone. God bless you.
His word will give you wisdom for tomorrow, today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. His word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
Consider his word.